Good morning, church. I'm kind of stepping out preacher who is preaching time to time. This is not the first time in my life when I do that. And I'm already in a situation that I stop counting that. It's somewhere between 5 and 10, and I don't know, which means that it's not something so much extraordinary for me. But it's always a challenge to come in front of people. And as I did not live in the time of Jesus, I don't know how was it. I can't tell you how it was. I did not study theology at the seminary, so I do not have too much theological background in that, and I can't tell you what people believe how it is, and I have just one option: to speak how it speaks to me and how this reflects in my life, who I am and what I see in that. And this is always a challenge for me to show lots of vulnerability. What's inside, what maybe was broken, full of pain, and what's healed now, and how it is changing, and how I see Christ and all these stories, or Jesus' stories, and where we are disciples in that. So this story, I met it twice. In addition to this church, I'm open to searching for God also differently, because I believe that part of our life in Christ is kind of cultural. We have some culture, we believe that Christianity looks set as core of a completely different group, means that it should, and the principles should work for us. I guess sometimes in summer, where the preacher had a great sermon on that, and I just remembered some moment, some feeling, something what I thought, okay, this is I should think about. And it came to me again 2 weeks ago on Monday when I attend online Bible study in Polish. I'm Czech native. My English is, after staying in the US, at the level that I can preach a little. My German works at the similar level at the moment when I stay for 3 days in Vienna, and then something turns on and it works well, and I can say words which I never thought I heard them before. And Polish was the third language which I brought to the point where I can communicate with native speakers fluently. Similarly, as I speak English with Americans, I can speak Polish with Polish native speakers. But it was part of the process, attending Bible study for about 6, 7, 8 months, I don't know, probably since Lent season of last year. And there again came this story to me. And I was last time preaching here on Pentecost, I think, and before it was on Advent. Now it's just boring season, nothing special in church, so I decided to choose a miracle. That, you know, pastors preach all the year, and those who are lay preachers have to choose something what fits their topic, who they are. So let's come to that. What is happening there? The most important part for me, as I see it, is the story that there is a boat in a storm, disciples in the boat, and they are full of fear. They don't know what to do, they are shaking, or who knows, that we can imagine any movie with something like that. And then there is a Jesus walking. But he's walking on the sea, maybe lake, it depends on translation in which language it is, and what it means to us. And they are even much more terrified than before when they see him, which means that meeting Jesus in life can cause fear. Is it true? Who knows? Maybe it's so. And that's one thing. And what he says, the most important part there: take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Encouragement. And now I'm going to touch question of courage, how it evolved in my life, how I saw it, and how things were changing. I was raised here in Czech Republic, and after the fall of communism in late 1980s or at the beginning of 1990s, here was re-established Boy Scouting, and I had a chance to read books of Ernest Thompson Seton, American or Canadian woodcrafter, one of the two founders of Boy Scouting in the world, and one of them is British, the other one is British, more army-based, and the second one was based on, I would say, wisdom of American Indians and building on that, but also kind of touching Christianity and all these principles behind that. And what I remembered, and this came to me this week, how was it written in his books, is that to have courage does not mean that there is no fear, but it means that we walk through a life or some adventure or situation with a consciously open heart, and we try to understand the reason of the fear. So, is it kind of clear what I say? That it's normal to have fear, and courage is that we are open to understanding what is causing that. And there are moments in my life when this from childhood comes back, because in these books I read about Bible school, Sunday school, and all of this, and I, as a boy, I had a dream I would like to experience that. It happened through in my life when I was as a postdoc in South Carolina. I attended first time in my life Sunday school, not as a 12-year-old boy who is in that book. So to me it happened a bit later, and in that moment I remembered this was my dream in the childhood, which happened. 20 years later, God works in his time, not in mine. So that's what's courage. And then coming to completely another life season, 2.5 years ago, it was May 2021, in the midst of COVID. It was already the second year of COVID, bit of shutdowns or lockdowns, not everything working well. And I found a song which Rob later involved in our services, which was Take Courage My Heart. It's somehow connected. The way we sing it is very close to the way which is on the recording. And to me, that season, those 2.5 years ago, was interesting moment. After I was born to a Catholic family, but much more traditional than having deep faith. And I never accepted that, and I did not know truly why, what was wrong, if something was not working. Then my life completely changed. I left to the US. I first time met Methodist Church there, and then I came back. And after 1 year here, I found this local Methodist Church here in Prague, which is English speaking. I was baptized here, and in some moment I had feeling that, strong feeling in heart, my heart is strong enough in Christ, in this Methodist Protestant way, to touch why my Catholic childhood faith was not working, what was wrong. And in that time, listening this song, Take Courage My Heart, which will be the last one today after the sermon, I came to the point, it's time to investigate why I decided to reject it. And I entered, just as an observer, a Catholic church, a monastery where there are 7 or 8 men rotating in preaching. They sing every day chants and something like that. And it gave me a chance to see things differently. Maybe we can't change our past, but we can change the emotions which are connected with that. And I started a strong healing process in which I thought, okay, if I come to the Catholic Church and I feel pain, I should open my heart. Maybe it will disappear. And it started to work. It was 2.5 year process. And where I came, in both churches, I came to the point where I think in a way that people connect to me. Something what I could not imagine 2.5 years ago. Some time ago, Rob brought me on the stage, and then he fired me before the COVID season for 1 year. I could not come there, and I don't know why, or I know, but it's not part of the sermon. And in some moment, some people left, as it is here in this church. People are coming and leaving, and then he needed me back. So that's it. And I made a great progress, and I came to the point of singing where everything is way better than I could ever imagine, but I also speak way better English than I could ever imagine, so God is working in our lives. And in many moments there was fear before that. So, opening of our hearts. Other thing, I asked for the song Mighty to Save. We did not have it for a long time. And what's there at the beginning is, how was the first verse? First two lines, how was it? Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. It came to my heart this week before I prepared the sermon, and although we did not have it for a really long time, I was sure I want to find this song, and I did not remember the name. So, what I believe in is that when Jesus is speaking to the disciples when they are in the boat in the storm, his heart is open, and he is calm, he is peaceful, and he is perfectly loving them. Love that is never failing. What is compassion? And then there is second thing. We always believe that God loves us by this love, but how this love comes to us? Through other people in our life. Because we can't see God, we see people. And we see how they respond to us, how they treat us, and all these stories, and I'm weak in English, in vocabulary, so I'm not going to continue in explanation. And it means that to love people with compassion can be a decision that in our mind, heart, who knows, we will come to that point that we love you all the time as we believe that God loves us at this way. And this can be kind of a way how to come away or how to live kind of slavery of emotions which we can't handle. Because if we try to open, that fear can be kind of seen as a cloud on our heart and we can address it, right? And if we can get rid of fear, or fear is kind of protecting us of addressing something else, can we address anger, impatience, something else? What is anger? It means that, what does it mean? What is anger? Something stops in my heart and I want to keep it as I want it, which means God is not working as I want, right? Impatience, kind of similar, God is not working in my time. I stop everything, my heart is closed and I want to have it in this way and no other option. And in my time. So that's it. And if we relax in that, in every moment when this happens to us, and it happens even to me after all this healing, I try to slow down and I search why I do that, why I'm not open in my heart, why my heart is hardened, as it was at the end of the scripture. So let's remember, whenever we try to close, we have option to open, and it's our decision, but it's not always to come to the point that we realize we have this option. The next one is singing story. Last fall, in September and October, I tried to be part of gospel choir. I entered that, and after 2 months, they fired me. And at the end, they said, your voice is great, you are singing relatively good, but it's not perfect. And we want everybody in each which I don't know how English works with that, because it was Czech-speaking gospel choir. When there is alt, tenor, and bass, all people singing, one of them should sound as one voice. Ah, voice is the word. And they told me, no, you are not fitting to them. We hear that you are there. So I was fired after 2 months. I got lots of compliments. They told me, you would fit personally as a human and we would like to have you, but it's not working. And I said, okay, that's fine. I was fired even by my music director in church before. I know this story. And I told them, thank you. I'm grateful for this opportunity to give me a chance to see what all I need to learn to maybe enter in future. And they said, we believe you can do that. There came that encouragement that Jesus is doing there. So it's working in my life, but I'm not yet there. And One of the strongest gospel songs was True Colors, something what I started to sing at home. You can find it on YouTube. And when I touch it, what are true colors? But how I understood it in that time, that we show naked heart, which is free of anger or impatience, and then we show who we are. These are our true colors. Then we are completely open to God, and this is what I do. And when this happened, if some of you maybe remember, beginning of October, when I could not walk because all my leg was painful, and I understood, I entered intense healing process in which I started to touch something old, because when we are living life in a way that everybody around us has some emotional pattern, we have to follow it, and if it causes pain because we are not open, and if we try to hide anger, it comes somewhere in the body as a pain, and then it becomes physical pain from the emotional one. And for me it was long journey for about, I don't know, 5 months until now, maybe just 4, and now I walk normally way better than any time before in my life. So that's it. And then there is coming, yeah, something changed in my muscles, but the biggest one is in my heart. This is the biggest change. And now let's come back to the last story. As I said, I attend online Polish Bible study with Kraków Methodist Church, Cracovia in Poland, a city comparable in its history and in size with Prague. It's a bit smaller, but in history, in its historical role for the country, it's kind of comparable. And I take part there, and speaking with native speakers online in their language, it was not so simple to enter in discussion. I was there in that church twice, and I knew the pastor, and I met them in person, but then I found on Facebook that they have these meetings. I entered, and to me it was a chance to listen a Polish of native speakers, which is not TV, it's not radio, it's just normal conversation, and the Bible study was at the background, and to me it was kind of curiosity how they see it. Are they more American or more European, or who they are, how is their understanding of scripture and how they see that? So for a long time there was lots of listening on my side. For twice or three times I wanted to enter discussion, but my heart was unsure in that. And the last one was when I finally started to speak, was when this scripture to which I'm coming today was discussed. And I thought that all of them are discussing. They have way deeper knowledge of theology than I have. They discuss what these people say, how this church believe this, how they believe that, and what is this and what is that. And interesting for me, I can learn something new there. But to me, there was something missing, understanding what is courage. And I wanted to speak, but there was fear in my heart. I was shaking. And I had to read 3 times this sentence, which is written there in English, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. I read it 3 times in Polish for me. And then I said, and I started to speak fluent Polish. I entered the discussion, I unmuted my mic, entered the discussion, and I said, I will try to speak in Polish, I believe you will understand me. And in this way, this was all in Polish, and I started to explain how I understand it. What this story means, that Let me check it, because I had to write it in English, because in that moment I was thinking in another language. And what is there? I read the sentence. I said that I'm reading from some translation, because in each language there are more translations. And I said that courage is a process of walking through a life challenge in which we do not have any life experience. We walk through it with open heart. In this manner, we do have connection with God, and we do the best for us and everybody around. We feel safe even on a, and now I'm missing English word, floor, ground, which is not tough, solid, fixed, firmed, which is the sea here. It's moving sea. But we, with open heart, we can be sure in that. And to me, this is kind of advertisement of Holy Spirit in this miracle, which comes way later in this book. And this is how I read this Bible passage symbolically. And here I finished my speech in Polish. And the pastor said, we thank you, we understood. And so I started to speak about courage after reading courage and kind of about miracles. I had to start with this sentence, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. It is I means Jesus here, so Jesus in our heart is courage. Think about it. We can have it differently. So, and then what happened there? There came lots of joy, and I was surprised that my Polish joy is different than my American one, and different than my Czech one. Just as I connected to that, I had chance to see that my emotions when speaking in another language are slightly different. And now, I think time for concluding questions. Do our hearts open? Do we open our hearts? Maybe it's an active process. We should want to do that. Are we courageous to reshape our identities through this process? Do we have courage for that? What we need? I believe we need courage and never failing love, coming back to Mighty to Save. And do we? And now, when I was writing that, first time in my life I have sermon written on computer. I always preached from just short notes. I made kind a lot of typos in words cautiously and consciously. Cautious, it means we do it, but we do not too much rush because we are entering a space which is unknown for us and it can be risky. This is why fear protects us. But conscience means we are aware of the process which is happening inside us, and what we want to do is that we can decide if we want to do that or not. We are willing to be open or we are not willing to be open. And this was the last point where I, this morning, coming to this point, why I finally understood why God brought me to that Catholic order, because they believe that will is important in faith. And I found out that what I was missing in my family, which was in childhood, which was Catholic faith, which was much more traditional and cultural one, was will to have working life in Christ. And that was the big emotional baggage which I was wearing for all my life. And what's interesting now, that all people around me communicate with me that they want to help me in a way that my life will be working. But previously, when I was keeping this old baggage, I had lots of situation when people were trying to show me, no, I'm not here for you. And so, coming to that, do we cautiously, consciously, can we make a word which how Americans like it? Let's make a mispronunciation which implicates both. I don't know how to say that. Can somebody help me? Cautious, conscience. Consciously?
Consciously.
to mix them together in advertisement that you would understand both. Is it possible? Too hard. Okay. So, but I believe it's somebody who makes advertisements would make it. So, can we do that? Try to give never failing love, and can we see our failures when our hearts closed as opportunities to grow? Because failure is chance to grow, and that's it. And I think I shared all what I wanted for today. So take courage, it's I, do not be afraid. And now the prayer time is in Kamalena's voice.